We do have Maulana Ashraf on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as always, jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the show this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ma, this week on the book review program, we review a number of books on Islam and politics. We know that on Wednesday, it is Elections Day here in South Africa, and many will be going to the polls to cast their vote. Let's just start off, Maulana. You know, a few years back, there was a letter that circulated stating that voting in a democracy is anti-Islam. Thereafter, there was a letter that responded to the first letter explaining why Muslims should vote.
Yes. Maulana, and I think the argument is made on both sides, you know. Firstly, you know, there's those who believe that one should not vote, and they have their arguments for that, theological arguments for that. And then, like this person who responded to the letter in the post on April 17 to 24, first, he said that it warrants a response, and he quoted the verse of the Quran al-Kareem where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to make over the trust to those best fitted to discharge them. And so he shows that all Muslims, what he called, are bound by a sacred obligation to vote. So we see books and publications on both sides of the divide, and I hope today we can actually discuss some of these.
Now, Ma, we have on this program recently reviewed Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani's book, Islam and Politics. Does this book help and give us any guidance for Wednesday?
Well, this is an excellent book. Now, we must remember there are two types of books written on Islamic governance, Islamic politics. We have the classical books, you know, such as the work of Ahkam al-Sultaniya of Mawardi that have been now translated into English. We have books like Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani's book. We also have books such as Principles of State and Governance in Islam by Muhammad Asad. These are all very important and good books, but what they give us is an ideal of what an Islamic governance and Islamic state would look like. All right, they don't actually, in a very extensive way, respond to the type of situation we who live in a non-Muslim country, in a constitutional democracy, we are faced with the question of voting or not. So yes, these books are useful to understand what Islamic governance and Islamic polity would look like. But in terms of offering us serious fiqh answers, there are other works that deal with this matter.
As you mentioned, Maulana, there are other works. So what are the other books or articles where the issue of voting specifically has been dealt with?
Maulana, again, Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, Dawud Barakatuh, in his book, Asr-e Hazir, May Islam Kaise Nafiz Ho, has written, for example, on this topic that the lack of interest towards elections is due to the fact that people have linked deen only to Salah, fast, etc. They consider politics, economics, etc. as totally foreign. This is why we see that many in their private capacity dedicate and devote themselves to prayer, but are quite reckless as far as other dealings are concerned. Such are the people who regard elections as merely something of the dunya, having no connection to deen, and have introduced into deen various evils. So that's the type of stand he has taken in his book, Asr-e Hadir Mein Islam Kaise Nafiz Ho, in other words, how can Islam be applicable in the modern times. And whether we like it or not, elections with its various campaigns, voting and polling have to be born with. We can say that how do we refrain from politics and leave it dirty and full of treachery? No doubt decent people of fine character shy away from politics because of this, you know, and because it immediately conjures up visions of treachery, lies, bribery and fraud. Therefore, many remain far from politics and do not even exercise their participation in voting rights. This attitude, according to Islamic principles, Mufti Taqi says, is incorrect and wrong.
And then, Maulana, lastly, you know, and you mentioned this earlier as well, the other opinion, you know, what about that? You know, the opinion that the post letter was reacting to?
Yes, Maulana, that is a quite a valid opinion. If you want more opinions like this, there is a website, muslimsagainstvoting.wordpress.com. And, for example, the Saudi scholars in their fatwa responding to what a question from people in Algeria and other countries clearly state, you know, in the code verses that the truth is known by Dalil, divine evidence, not by men. And therefore, these one should shun what they call the Tawhid, the false gods, and all of that. So they have very strong type of opinions. People in the West also have strong opinions regarding voting in the democratic dispensation they find themselves living under. And in a sense, they take the long view. They say, look, democracy as an institution. Let us look at what the consequences of democracy as an institution has been. I mean, just a few minutes ago, there was somebody on your radio station 702, and that person said that democracy hasn't worked. It certainly hasn't worked in Africa. And to link democracy with economic growth is incorrect. So what these people, some of them at least have, these Muslims, and their arguments should not be dismissed of, they consider seriously that as Muslims we have to live a life where we want to establish the Nizam-e-Mustafa in this world. We want to establish the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And accepting democracy, voting, and the attendant consequences is in a sense an antithesis to them. And so if we look in South Africa itself, democracy is not without its difficulties. There have been calls to amend our Electoral Act just last week to allow for voters to choose candidates instead of parties. And in Islam, we know that leadership is vested in a man. There is leadership because a person is capable of being a leader, not because a party chooses a certain number of candidates. Also, what feeds into this debate is the position of Muslims in non-Muslim lands. For this, there is a good book that we have reviewed previously, Muslims in Non-Muslim Lands, A Legal Study with Applications, by Mufti Abjad Muhammad of the Wifaqul Ulama of the UK. And we have reviewed this verse, and here he looks at the Western secular nations and the minorities, Muslim minorities that find themselves in those Western secular nations, no different from our own position here in South Africa. And the book set out to counter the idea that there are only two possibilities for Muslim minorities, isolation or assimilation. And he argues from a traditional Islamic viewpoint that the classical law is not too inflexible to be actually used in the 21st century and to allow for new solutions to people's problems that they have here. He also deals with the important concept of Diyar, you know, the political legal jurisdictions of Darul Islam, the Muslim state, Darul Sulh, the peace treaty state, and Darul Harb, the enemy state. So these type of political theories and understanding ourselves in the out of a Muslim state, these also feed into this debate. As I said, you know, we need to consider what the Arab ulama say about this as well. And they seem to be, for example, the Lajna of ulama in Saudi, their fatwa is that one cannot vote, you know. So one needs to be very, very clear about this and understand the type of nuances to the entire debate. It is not a clear-cut debate, and we should not link the opposition to voting. We will be very, very incorrect if we link the opposition to voting to Islamic extremism. These two things are not linked in any way. This comes of its own trajectory, and it has its own type of basis for thinking this way. Also, that we need to keep it cognizant of the fact that what we in fact are doing is participating in elections which we consider to be free and fair. And from one perspective, ulama have argued that we have an amana, and the nature of the vote is an amana given to Muslims as citizens of a constitutional democracy. And this concept was explored in another very, very important fatwa issued by the Jamiatul Ulama Transvaal on the eve of the first democratic elections by respected Ustad Mufti Muhammad Saeed Botara Sahib Dawat Barakatuh. Mufti Muhammad Saeed Botara, they argued in a sense about the nature of the vote, and he deconstructed the nature of the vote, and he provided convincing arguments why Muslims should regard this as an amana and execute this amana judiciously. This is an important work that has been republished and is available from the Jamiatul Ulama South Africa. This is essential reading, and I think this is where, you know, the debate is, because it's serious theological reflection that has been documented and put down. This research is available. Maulana, it is also significant that the South African Muslims Network, SAMNAT, they released their poll of Muslim attitudes towards politics in South Africa, and 66% of South African youth will vote for existing parties if ulama encourage them to do, compared to 51% in Muslims over the age of 35. So what this shows is that the ummah waits for and appreciates the opinion of the ulama in this regard. In conclusion, Maulana, let me make my own observation and throw a spanner in the wheel, perhaps. I believe that there is a third option which very few have in fact considered. The voter has the choice and the prerogative to in fact spoil the vote. Spoiled votes are counted. Those who are satisfied with dissatisfied with politics should also consider this opinion option. The Saturday Star carried an article, which many of our listeners may have read, concerning a poll that examined the fact that many people polled said they did not care about politics. The poll found that the results reflected the socio-economic divide in the country, with people in informal settlements more likely to indicate that they do not care about politics compared to people in more affluent areas. This was an interesting article and supports my contention that there is another option, not one that I would necessarily advocate, but certainly ask people to consider, and that is to spoil your vote. It is legal and spoiled votes are counted, so you could easily judge the extent of your influence. You certainly will not get the support of the IEC for your campaign, but there it is. I've been toying with this idea since the period of the tri-apartheid cabinet at the House of Delegates time. Perhaps it is once again a choice to exercise. Certainly, if any group want to know what type of sway they have over their members, that this is a way of working that out. Just last night, Maulana, I was reading the Sunday Independent, and this idea was supported in an article which showed that a number of Britons were doing the same thing by spoiling their votes due to their disillusionment with their politicians and governments. This is an active movement to express dissatisfaction, and in fact not obstructionist.
Jazakumullah khairan for that, Maulana, and providing us with great insight into this topic, and inshallah we will speak to you in the coming weeks as well.
Maulana, if I could just say, you know, we need to explore as Muslims more broadly the type of things that political parties are saying. For example, the Front, the Front is an Afrikaner-based party calling for self-determination. Now the question is, haven't we as Muslims in fact created enclaves where in, for example, just down my road here there's a housing, you know, enclave, Al-Ansar in Cordoba, there's another type of housing estate that have become almost exclusively for Muslims, and self-determination perhaps is an option that some parties are offering. It may be very much in tune with your own beliefs about how society should be organized, or how, even how traditional societies were organized. So I think as Muslims we need to start thinking out of the box about our politics and the way we envisage things. In conclusion, Maulana, I would say that not enough has been written on this subject. I believe that we as Muslims lack in respect of authorship in serious theological reflection on contemporary issues. What we do have is ficky solutions, legal solutions, and we have fic councils that do that very well. But there is a dearth of holistic theological reflection on the issues facing mankind as a whole. I mean, the issue of supporting democracy in South Africa is not an isolated issue of making up your mind about South Africa alone. It is about looking at the entire Muslims globally. And so I think that, you know, we need to be more nuanced in our reading and perhaps also in our ideas, and we need to encourage serious theological reflection on these contemporary issues, Maulana.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Maulana, for joining us this morning.
Finally, Maulana, I think Ramzan is the time to actually read the Quran. And if I can encourage our leaders to turn rather to the Quran in its reading. worth reading, Walada. If you know, we can read a portion of the Quran worth reading every day, I think it will go a long way, Walada.
Inshallah, that the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran as well. Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana, for joining us this morning on the show.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mawlana Ashraf Dhakrat joining us this morning for the book review show.